Read the Medicine Buddha stanza and mantra. So if you have the Go Prayer Book, it's on the blue colored sheet. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha lapis life. So let's chant the mantra right below there, 7 times. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samogate soha teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samogate soha teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samogate soha teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samogate soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samogate soha teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samogate soha. Now let's read the four measurables one time in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be from the suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from desire, and hatred for him. And now on page 37, let's chant the four measurables in Tibetan. It's on the bottom of the page. And then we'll chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times. He's a Buddha of great compassion. And then Green Tara's mantra 7 times. She's a deity of enlightened activity. San Chen Tam Che De Wa
Oh.
tare tu tare tu re so ha. Om 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 tare tu tare tu. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. I give some Paul lead us in the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayers on page 98. Dagi chu zangi pe su nam ji do la pe chu zangi du pa sho. Shoi zangi je do zangi chu nam la chan chu pa du da ni kya su chi. Dagi chu zangi pe su nam ji do la pe chu zangi du pa sho. Shoi zangi je do zangi chu nam la chan chu pa du da ni kya su chi. Dagi je zangi be son anji do la penche sangye du pa shos.
Good morning. Thank you. Yeah, happy to see all of you. And I just want some prayer before we start, because I think this prayer helps people with physical difficult and mental difficult and all sickness and problem with family and job and spiritual harm and nightmare and especially untimely death. And also this prayer help in success and wealth and a successful life. And whatever you have goal, you have achieved quickly. And especially nowadays and everywhere in the world, a lot of suffer and free from those like suffering. Okay, I'm going to short prayer.
Jesus Jordan de Ma, Tujeje, Dadon Taye, Sanje Tonjeje, Dene Shose, Sonye Yozo, Zobe Sanje Toban, Zedoso, Dema Toje, Sera Kundayo, Ladon Meye, Dewa Chodon. Tonje chewa draba sheba la bhajen dege rido ne la so dimi chewa cheba nanzo do mulo nge da tsema nge bas. Jiba jeso nyewa cewa no nyada sheshi meba zeda son jiden jiden lina deba ye tashi dele pusa tsuba. Peshi jibye dena ma leba beme lajen draba zeda so dala ceshi tonje pewa don tada sheda shangyo tongwa. Tonye dedo shose rinpoche, yange dada peshi jibwanze, jaye chungko sonshi gawate, pema tomba shidan zeleshi, nawa taye jaye ngisa. Lide bayo dage dedo sho, dage tserangini tibela, tisa sanje kanje telema. Nijo shaji shaji nishemba, yeje oba nambi, tashi sho jaye dema, chega chandrado, kodo, kutse tseda shingos. Cheche Tsencho Sompo Chantrawa Tantra Khona Dason Juwansho Chala Deji Sawa Tabi Daso Khunda Nenbi Sasho De Nente Ombo Tatsi Shuwa Chido Tashi Peba Zedo So.
Okay, this prayer is really powerful, and people who can hear and who recite is a lot of benefit. That's one of the Tara prayer. Okay. And I don't know what I have to do today. Okay. Then first I want to let you know, some of our center members tell me, talk about India trip, right?
Then I'm going to tell a little bit what we happy, okay? Actually, we went very well, very well. And most of you know, like end of the October 2018, and 15 of our members, right? We went to the India, and my monastery, and Buddha Gaya. And we got the Bangalore early morning, November 1st. Then we took the bus overnight to the, did you hear? Okay, overnight to the my monastery, and everybody is exhausted, and then we just like rest, short rest until noon. Then after lunch, then we visit our teacher Khyentse Rinpoche, and so wonderful. Then after actually, we spent 6 days, right? 6 days, and we did many things. Then Venerable Chikila received ordination from Khyentse Rinpoche, and also we visit Arundo Monastery debate courtyard and kitchen, monastery kitchen, and main temple, His Holiness Palace, and library, and also we went to the India local village, and can number 2, they have one lake which means like, you know, liberation for fish, for long life, all the higher Rinpoches and benefit all sentient beings. And also we went to the shopping and Tibetan camp number 1, and also we went to visit Nyimapo Monastery, right? Nyimapo Monastery, and took the tutu, it's for fun. And then we receive, I wanted to tell High Gyoa initiation, most high yoga tantri initiation we receive. Then I don't know what we did. Goda Tembo Nyimapo Monastery, one of the Nyimapo Monastery, the biggest Nyimapo Monastery, Goda Tembo. And every night, our like members go to see the how the monks debate. And then during the daytime, the Venerable nuns did so many wonderful. They recite medicine, Buddha ritual, almost like every night. Then mandala offering. Then they went to the debate courtyard, recite Tara and Hasutra, and did so wonderful things. And also, one of the our nun, Venerable Lamula, asked me to bring future. If you want to bring to Kadampa Sangha member to India, please first bring to the monastery, because this then will know how Geshe-la and I grew up, like until the Geshe, how did, like, you know, then we can see, because last 20 years we talk about the Sera Monastery, this and that, we never experienced. We got there, then how monks studying, how monks eat, how monks live. Therefore, Lamula said, they make me inspire, yeah. Something like that. Then also, like, you know, I think this is truth, because all of us went there, talked like 1-6 days with our students, and we got a lot of blessing. Then before we leave, we gather and pray and talk each other. Then some people happy cry. Yeah, they're really blessing, like, you know. Then after November 7th, we went to the Buddh Gaya, and every single night, every single day, we visit like main temple, which means Buddha elect, and Buddha was elect, the place of the Buddha was elect. Then also we visit Vochur Peak. I don't know, we call like Shagyepimbur, I don't know this, like, you know, the place of the Buddha first teach Hasutra. Hasutra, we all been there and recite the Hasutra few times, and also we recite many different prayers. And then we went to the Nalendra Monastery, and we very good opportunity to go to visit Lama Atisha's room and Shantideva's room. In Shantideva's room, we pray the God through the Bhutsava way of life and dedication. Chapter number 10, we did a dedication prayer. Then also we went to the Shantideva when he was taught the God to the Bhutsava way of life, and so wonderful. Then also we went to the Mahakala cave, right? Mahakala cave, and a Buddha CCS meditate without eating, the place of the dead, we went there. And also we went to the root and Japanese temple and Thai temple. There are many different, like, you know, the we visit most of the them. And also, every single day we visit and the stupa, right? Main stupa, then we offer fruit and main, like, you know, statue, Buddha statue, offer fruit, flower, and robes. And also, Khyentse Rinpoche suggests to us recite, and we call Tendi Temple, the pace to the interdependent. Yeah, this one is Lama Tsongkhapa Road. Yeah, we recite few times together. And anyway, we did, I think, a very good job. Then all this, like, you know, create merit dedication. Of course, we did dedication all Mother Sinche being. And especially, we did dedication Kadamba Sangha member and members' family and friends and co-worker and for everybody long, happy, healthy, successful life. We dedicated this all merit. And then also, I just really want to tell, like, you know, the people who went to the with us, like with me, with us, the guru of us, went to the in the monastery, and they made the habit, like, you know, and our monks and Inkulu Khyentse Rinpoche said, how, like, you know, people are, how they talk, how they respect each other, then loving kindness, especially their patience. And our monks said, wow, the Kadamba Sangha member is totally different than other West people. Yeah, they said, really, yeah, that's truth. Therefore, I really, like, it deep in my heart, thank you so very much, people who went there, because you guys did wonderful things. And, yeah. And also, we spend a lot of money. I think spend money is well spent, because people go to beach, spend a lot of money. People go to other country, their country, just for fun. But we went there, and at least we, like, circumambulized, like, you know, the main Buddhist stupa. They create a lot of merit, right? Yeah, therefore, I think we went very well. And, I don't know, then I stay, like, you know, after we went to the Delhi, then all them, some of them went to the Nepal, then most of go back to here. Then I have to stay until the February 10th, because The February 10th, we have like, you know, the long life prayer for the Kezo Rinpoche. Therefore, actually Kezo Rinpoche invited Geshe-la and both of us. We cannot go both of us there. Therefore, I stay there for both of us. Then many of you support for this long life puja. Then I just want to tell you, the long life puja is the one of the best long life puja ever, except to Dalai Lama's long life puja. Really, like, you know, since I came to monastery, we did so many long life puja that this one is the one of the best long life puja. Okay. Then I think some of the our group wants to talk about yeah. Yeah.
Do you have students that you teach when you go back to India? Do you have students? Mm-hmm.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. Geshe-la and me both have many students back to in the monastery. And Geshe-la went to the here, and I was there. Then I take here, teach how to pray, how to, like, you know, the base and the Buddhist philosophy. Then I came here, my brother take here everything. But at this time, when I went there, I did not teach. I just enjoy table. Okay, that's your question, right? I think after, like, you know, watching the pictures, if you have questions, please. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start with just a few images from around the monastery that might get you a sense of what life is like there. And for me, one of the high points was when we were in the main Gompa on the floor above with Geshe Sangpo's help. We were able to visit His Holiness's private apartments there at Sarajay. He had, you know, we saw his rooms, his room where he would meet with people, and then there is a Gompa there, and they always have his photo there on the throne. And I love it that it looks like he's actually there in this picture. You think that he's actually there, and there's just something so wonderful about, you know, being in the rooms where he stays when he's at the monastery. So that was really a very precious moment for me. And this is just an example of the beautiful architecture. You'll see this in the Tibetan Gompas everywhere in India and Nepal, and probably in Tibet. Here are the monks from House 26A who were in the house while we were there. There are quite a few other monks who live in House 26A, and they gave up their rooms for us, which we also really appreciated, and they stayed in the old house. Geshe Sangpo, you still have responsibilities for the monks in the house, don't you? Yeah. 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 Oh, and yeah, this is. This is the monks going back into their classes after recess at their school. And here, before we start this, Sandy, near the big debate courtyard, Geshe Sangpo, can you explain what that place, what this area is? There was a throne there, and there were a lot of tankas. And Geshe Sangpo was showing us around, and this monk was pacing up and down reciting. But I'd like Geshe Sangpo to give us more context.
I think we visit there around the 2 o'clock, right? 2 o'clock afternoon?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That time we don't have class. Then some people, like, you know, come to here, recite, like, by memoria? But yeah, because here is more cooler than their drum. Therefore, people come here, recite, like, this and that. But basically, this one is a debate courtyard. When we first came, Geshe-la and I first come to monastery, we don't have debate courtyard like this. If rain, then we still like study under the rain. But nowadays, like in there, already like, you know, be the cover. Yeah. This is debate courtyard. They have many different tonka, 35 Buddha, 21 Thara, as many different. Yeah, yeah. Looks like people here, like, you know, testing, walking, but he's not, that's not found. They debate so many different types, like, you know, each class has different subject. Yeah. Yes, yeah, what they learn. They're first, like, studying, like, books. Then, because we have, like, you know, different teacher, different class. Even though you are, like, classmate, you have different teacher. Then every teacher has different view and teach different idea. Then you come to at the debate courtyard. Then you have to debate, yeah. Which one's the best, like, you know. Yeah.
And the part of the covered gallery that we saw is only one half of it. There's another section just as large on the other side, and then a huge debate courtyard off to the side of it. And this is Geshe Pema, he's pretty much in charge of House 26A.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And he's just incredibly sweet, quiet, humble, very kind person.
Yeah.
So just wanted to share him with you. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Jack of all trades. He can fix anything.
No.
So one afternoon we went to listen to Jampatashi, who was a big helper of ours, and I think Elise will talk about him a little bit more. He is, the monastery is broken up into different little schools. What is the Tibetan word for them?
We call kunze.
Kunze, yeah. So Jampatashi is the chant master for his school, and we went to listen to him. We were standing outside the Gompa where he was chanting, and this cart came past behind me. Off to the left of this Gompa is the main kitchen for the monastery where they do they cook the is it just lunch or is it lunch and dinner? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
yeah.
for all the monks. And all the monks, although they stay in their separate houses, they don't have a big central dining room, so they'll go to the kitchen to get the food. And this cart just rumbled along behind me with these monks taking food back to their house.
Yeah.
And you see how big that is. So when we were at the Golden Temple in the Nyingma Monastery, there were a bunch of students from a nearby city in India who were very curious about all of us and came and asked a lot of questions of Geshe Sangpo, and so a spontaneous teaching occurred. And they were just incredibly sweet people, and that was just very moving to me. And this was just our group coming back from meeting with Khyentse Rinpoche on the first day. And again, near the main Gompa and near the kitchen is a offering house. And I just liked the image of all those butter lamps in offerings. Geshe Sangpo, can you talk a little bit more about this little offering house there and how it's used?
Yeah, every day here, butter lamp offering. Yeah. They used to this room, we used to make the butter statue when I was in charge ritual community. Then we used to make the butter statue, the big butter statue. Then they changed to the offering butter lamp. Yeah.
And this is Khenpo Rinpoche with Geshe Sangpo and Geshe Pema. This is in the a private meeting room in his house. His house is about a 5-minute walk from House 26A. Oh, and yeah, Khenpo Rinpoche on the throne there is the teacher of Geshe Sangpo and Geshe Gelug. And he has been here 2 times. He came first shortly after we were in this building, and then the second time he came when we, or was it the first time when we welcomed the Tara statues to the, it was the first time that we welcomed the Tara statues. And so he consecrated all the Tara statues on our Tara altar. And he used to be, yes, thank you, he used to be abbot of Gyume Monastery near Sarajay, that is the Tantric Monastery, and then he was abbot also of Sarajay. And this is Jampatashi and Jamala. This is actually in Bodh Gaya. They traveled with us when we went to Bodh Gaya. They were our fixers, our caretakers, our helpers, our saviors. Both of them just incredibly sweet and charming and delightful, and they just totally win your heart, and they're also clearly fun little brothers to each other. So, never heard of them. And then one afternoon we got out into the streets of the real India part of Bodh Gaya, where there was this incredible little street market going on. It was jammed, packed with people, and at one time a car came through and we kind of had to hold hands and run to get out of there without getting run over. But it's just so beautiful and colorful. And now Tulis.
So there were so many things that really touched my heart on this trip. But the thing that really impressed me the most was learning about the life of a monk. You know, we think, well, what does a monk do? You know, like, how hard is it to be a monk? You know, don't they just kind of sit around and pray all day? You know, they grow up in this protected place and people house them and teach them and it's just so easy. Well, let me tell you, first of all, the experience of being in the monastery and seeing what their daily routine of learning was just like, oh my gosh. Every day, 5 a.m., you hear them chanting their morning prayers. And then from then, all day, all night till about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it's a rotation of going to class, memorizing like you saw that monk, and then debating with a couple of very short breaks to rest and eat. 6 days a week. That I couldn't do that for 3 months. And they do this for years, some of them decades, with no breaks. And it's just amazing. Now, that's just their learning, in extreme difficulties that they undergo to learn, which, you know, I thought, well, how much is there to learn, you know, just to come and teach about Buddhism, you know? Like, you know, we go to Buddhism in a nutshell and discovering Buddhism, and we know a lot about Buddhism, right? No. They memorize and study all these texts. And I had even a better idea of the intensity and the breadth and the difficulty, the complexity of what needs to be learned by reading a book. His Holiness wrote a biography of his teacher, and it talks about all, you know, he studied these texts under this teacher, and those texts under this one, and these studies, you know, under this teacher, and it's just relentless. It just, huge and intense and complex and just beyond my comprehension. So that's just their intellectual grueling difficulties, right? Then you add to that the physical, the emotional, spiritual difficulties they undergo. In 1970, Sarah J. Monastery, the one that we visited, had its birth. There, the monks who came down to South India to start Sarah J. had escaped from the difficulties, the political difficulties in Tibet. And we can all just have an idea of how difficult it is to be a refugee by all we read in the paper and see in the news these days. And then they were held in refugee camps for a while, and then India gave them a piece of land here in South India. So just think, first of all, coming from Tibet, a land of high mountains and cool weather and thin air, then being in refugee camps in India, and then being given land in the jungles of South India, where they literally had to carve out the jungle, live in little tents and shelters as they started building their community. This here is a picture of Kenshin Rinpoche, the esteemed, wonderful teacher that you've seen in the Madonna's pictures. He's a picture of him here. He's the teacher of Geshe Galak, Geshe Sangpo. And now, as Donna said, he was the abbot of two different monasteries. Huge responsibility for thousands of monks, all of their spiritual and educational development. And now he's retired from being abbot, and now he's responsible for teaching the higher level monks. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So those who are advanced students. So he's still hard at work. So, and this is him in 1970, one of those monks that came down and carved out the jungle. Look at him. The monks were literally way underfed, way overworked. And then on the next picture, please. Here's how he looks today. This is my generation. This is 1970. This is just about 50 years ago. Look at and they put in the work. Nobody did it for them. They had the assistance of some local Indian people to do this, but they broke their busted their knuckles doing all this hard work in addition to keeping up all of their studies, just so that they could come and teach us and the rest of the world. That's incredible. You know, they could have, you know, with all that hard work, they could have said, well, no, there's no time, no energy left to learn. Or, you know, they could have done anything, but they chose all this hard mental and physical work to do this. And here they are today. And so Kenshin Rinpoche with Geshe Sangpo also, you know, walked through the mountains at night as a child, left his family behind, you know, worked hard, never knowing if he was ever going to see them again, worked day after day from before morning light till after sunset, every day, worked hard to study and to learn. And then he, in turn, was mentoring John Patashi. Same thing, this young man was like 4 or 5 years old, escaped through the mountains of Tibet with some older brothers and relatives to come here, never knowing if he was going to see his family again. And they did all this because of a dedication to what they know to be real, and they want to do this to share with others. And as a result of their dedication, going out and teaching and getting sponsors, they were able to now be in a position where they can concentrate on their studies and live in a decent place. Next one. Yes.
There's also the connection.
Yeah.
just has to do with how cool the Sarah J connection is for us here at Kadampa Center through Khenpo Rinpoche and the teachers, but also yes. that through FPMT, they reached the endowment goal for the FPMT to be able to provide food, 3 nutritious meals to all of those monks and nuns. And so we have a connection to them as well through that, and that's just so precious.
Thank you, Becca. It's true that finally, after all these years, there's been enough sponsorship because of the dedicated efforts of Geshe-la and monks like him going out into the world to teach and bring awareness of the importance of this and getting support, so that now the monks can concentrate more on studying than doing all of this hard work. And that's just in 50 years. This is House 26A, where Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sangpo and Jampa Tashi grew up, right? Now, there were like 4, 5, or 6 people lived in this little...
There used to, like, 37 people live here, and we have 1 restroom.
Wow. Yeah.
The red there, my room. I stay with my aunt, my uncle. Then every early morning when we wake up, because we have to hurry up to catch the puja, then our rope is very, like, you know, it's too difficult. We are like... yeah. And did you see in the glass top of the...
Back.
Yeah, that is Geshe-la's room. The Geshe-la went here, then I moved to there, and I beat the glass. Yeah, that's Geshe-la's room and my room.
So this is around 1980, is that right? 1980 when this house was built?
Yes, we stay here. I stay here. Geshe-la stay here since, like, you know, he came to monastery until he came here. But I stay here 1985 to 2006. Then 2006 we built the new,
Yes. Mm. So those are the humble beginnings of the monastery, and it took about 10 years to get to where there were enough of these small buildings for them to live in. And the next one, please. This is House 26A that Geshe Sangpo helped to coordinate the building of this about 12 years ago. Is that right?
2006.
And there are many other buildings like this that the other monks can now live in due to the generosity of us. Yes? How many monks?
Right now, most students, somebody become a Geshe, go to Tibet and Nepal. One of the monks teach in Nepal, one nunnery. Then my brother went back to my monastery, other monk monastery, and some people the monastery job. Right now here, maybe 9, because Geshe-la and me come here, 9 or 11, something like that, live here. Yeah.
I think she meant the monks in the whole Sarajay monastery.
Oh, you mean, whole monastery. I think Saraji and Sarame all together around 5,000. Yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood. Okay.
So I just want to end this by saying I will never again say, oh, what does a monk do? I mean, they're just so humble and say, oh, I'm lazy, I just sat around. But they make giving and learning, they're just so graceful and humble. They make everything look easy, but it's just like an Olympic skater. You know, they make it look easy, but it took a lot of years of very hard work and continuous upkeep. Thank you. Oh, here, this is a view of the original Sarah J. Monastery in the 1980s, before some of the newer buildings, like the new House 26A, were built.
When I first came, monastery looked like this. When Geshe-la first came, this is a 10, not really, yeah. When I first came, looked exactly like this monastery.
Thank you. I'll be short. We went, you've heard a lot about Jampa Tashi, who was our herder when we went to Bodh Gaya. And he left Tibet when he was a small child. As Elise said, he hasn't seen his family since. His only connection is through video chatting now and telephone, but he hasn't seen them. Oh, did they came down? Okay. Yeah, the first time since he was a small child. But he was a chant master at this Gompa. And every morning, I mean, one of the things that was so remarkable when we were there is we were sitting, you saw the picture of House 26A. In the evenings, we'd sit up on the second floor of the veranda in the cooling breeze and chat after dinner. We were so pampered while we were there. And this chanting would come out, you know, just from be all around us all the time. And we'd wake up in the mornings before breakfast, and there'd be chanting. And one night, Jampatashi had gone to a puja that lasted till midnight or something, and he was back at the Gompa chanting, leading the chants at 5 a.m. And I said, "How do you do that day after day?" And he said, "It's really hard to make me tired." So I'm kind of just the opposite. But I just did one recording of some of his chants, which I think we'll play now. This is Karen and David, and I went to a puja one afternoon. Don't watch the picture, just listen. It was just such a peaceful feeling to hear that all the time. It was really, really wonderful.
He was chosen. I mean,
he was elected as chant master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we'll switch gears a little in our location. This diagram here I did to show our trips and where we went in India. We came in on that blue line from the left and went to Bangalore down in the southern India there. Those red lines represent a bus ride out to the Sarajay Monastery, taking 5 hours or so to go 100 miles. And then after 5 days there, like Geshe Sangpo said, we flew up to New Delhi and then out to Bodh Gaya there in the northeastern India. And the reason why we went there is that's where Buddha spent a lot of his time. It's where he became enlightened. And there's some tremendous historical monuments there that we went to see. And so I'll just show a few views of that. Here's a street scene in Bodh Gaya. There's our Hotel Mahayana with the sign up on top of it there. That's where we stayed. And this is the street out in front, and you can see how crowded it is with bicyclists and walkers and motorcycles and tuk-tuks and cows, too, at times. So then let's move to the next photo. Down the street a little ways, we're heading toward the Mahabodhi Temple. And the Mahabodhi Temple is the site on the site where Buddha is said to have become enlightened about 500 B.C. So next photo, here we are at the entrance gate, and there are many soldiers here. You have to give up your cell phone and your iWatch. You have to check them in. They don't even let you take those in. If you want to take photos in here, you have to have your camera checked out and pay 100 rupees to take it in, 100 rupees, like 17 cents. Here we are going in through the gate. There's a couple of pat-down stations where Indian Army guys inspect you. And then the women, too, they go through their own side of the inspection station. So then moving on to the next photo. Oop. There should be a view of the temple here. Okay. Well, skipping ahead in the photo tour, here's Geshe Sangpo and our group praying in front of a Tara statue on the side of the Mahabodhi Temple. And let's see what photo we have next here. Crowds. Many, many thousands of Buddhist pilgrims come here every day and just throng the whole grounds around the temple. And here we have prostration platforms. You may have heard that Geshe Sangpo went to India to do 100,000 prostrations as a practice about a year and a half ago, right? And so here are monks doing their 100,000 prostrations. This is off in a corner near the temple. And then we have the next photo, please. Here is Venerable Lamo standing on the platform that I believe was the one Geshe Sangpo used to do 100,000 prostrations. So we saw that, and Venerable Lamo did a few practice prostrations there, like three. moving on, here's a view of the Mahabodhi Temple at night. It's when it was really recognized as a historically valuable place in the 1800s, the British ruled India at the time, and this whole site is near a river a couple of blocks away, which obviously over the centuries had flooded this area and brought in a lot of earth, which covered up the low-level area that you see here and the whole base of the temple when it was really recognized as a historic landmark, and renovations began in the late 1800s. So let's go on to the next. Let's see what's next here. The video, okay. Yeah, please start it up. So we went at night to circumambulate it. There's three different walkways at different distances from it. Here we're looking inside. There's a Buddha statue in there. And now we're starting our walk around the temple. There's these ancient stone fences that are recognized as historic landmarks, built about 200 years before Christ. All these strings of marigolds appear every day as decorations. And now we're walking along beside the stupa, which is very large. It's almost 200 feet high. And this music you're hearing is the chanting they play there at the temple. And Hemant could explain. Maybe after the video ends, you could explain what that chant is. So we're walking along here. It's 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, so visiting has kind of gone down. There's still some pilgrims here sitting quietly. And some are praying here in this corner. And there we see the Bodhi tree sticking up behind that fence. That tree is said to grow at the site where a Bodhi tree was 2,500 years ago. And as we walk along here, we will look in through this fence to what is called the Diamond Throne, which is a stone slab placed there by King Ashoka of India about 200 years after Buddha was here. And it is said that that's the very spot where Buddha became enlightened. He was sitting there under the tree. We'll look through the fence here in a moment. And back in there, where that orangey light is, there's a little, you can see a stone platform down at the bottom there. It's about 7 inches thick and about the size of a piece of plywood, more or less, and that is said to be the original that King Ashoka placed there. More pilgrims here praying. another view looking back there at the Bodhi tree and the fence there. So now we're walking along the north side here, back to our starting point. Yes, all those are flower offerings, I believe, that people have brought during the day. There's someone here who may be a monk over on the left there with his two dogs studying, and the Tara statue was just up ahead there. And now we're coming around the final corner back to where we started. There's still some pilgrims going inside there to visit the Buddha statue. In that very narrow passageway. It's so narrow, one column of people can walk in and the other one can walk out beside each other, almost elbow to elbow, back inside there where the light, bright light is there. So that concludes the walk around the stupa. And Hema, could you comment on that chant?
While Heyman's on his way up here, one of the things that's really amazing about this video is you see a lot of people there. That's like 5% of the people who are there during the daytime. From the time the temple opens at 5 o'clock in the morning until it closes at night, it's packed with people. And if you're there in the middle of the day, every section of that area around it and the whole temple grounds are much larger than what we saw here, and there are people everywhere, and a lot of times there'll be a group of students with their teacher circumambulating the stupa, and the teacher might be chanting through a speaker. And one of the things that I really liked about India and Bodh Gaya, right next to the Mahabodhi temple is a Hindu temple, and nearby is a mosque, and you hear the prayers from all these different traditions going on all the time, and they're all right next to each other, and they're all hearing each other's different practices and tolerating each other living together side by side. And that was one of the things I found quite inspiring about India. And I can't imagine what it would be like if people were, we were there during Diwali, which is a big Hindu celebration, and there were wagons going down the street with goddesses, statues of goddesses in them, and singing and fireworks and everything. And I can just imagine if that was happening in the United States, people would be up in arms. It was just such a different culture, but it was really quite inspiring. Okay, Hema.
I got it here. Okay, so what you heard was Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Saranam Gacchami. And what that means is the word Buddha means the awakened one or the enlightened one. With the AM at the back, Buddham, it's like a Om attached to Buddha, which is body, speech, and mind. So with your body, speech, and mind, Saranam means refuge. I go into, like I would say when I was young, I go to Saranam to my mother. So when you go in the lap of the mother as a child, just think of that as taking refuge into Buddha with body, speech, and mind. Ga-cha-mi means going to. So it's taking refuge in Buddha. Then the Sanskrit word for, of course we say dharma, but when it became Pali, they made it dhamma. So the R went away. So it says dhammam sharanam gacchami. In the refuge of dharma, I go. And the last one is Sangham, which is in the refuge with my body, speech, and mind. To the Sangha, I take refuge. So it's basically taking refuge, and it gets repeated all the time, just about 24 hours a day in that temple. So you hear it; it's very calming and very soothing. So it's basically taking refuge.
Thank you. Okay, now I think that's the end of my photos, right? Okay.
No.
Now, can you hear me? So I could sit here and just go ditto, 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 because there was so much that everybody was talking about, and so many of our experiences were similar. I think one of the things that David and Hamant have shared with us is that feeling of what it was like to actually be down there and doing this circumambulation and hearing that beautiful chant all the time. That chant was also in the airport when we arrived. That it's just a beautiful, beautiful chant and what it means. And Hamant actually was purchased the CD for that for all of us as a gift. It was just such a beautiful experience to actually be down there and see these things. And so for me, I'm just going to keep it very short. I'm one of the happy tear people. That I would go along and I would be just fine. And then the immensity of where we were and what was going on, well, I would just start crying. It was just an amazing experience. And so I'm just going to give you one of mine. Was literally when we were on Vulture Peak, and I just kept hearing the words of the Heart Sutra, even that just that opening line. That thus I did hear at one time, the Bhagavan was dwelling on the mass of Vulture's Mountain, Vulture Peak. I had this overwhelming experience so many times that we actually were where the Buddha was. We actually were in these places. And I would just get these tears. Thankfully, I was hiding behind sunglasses most of the time because I spent quite a bit of the time with happy tears. It was just such an emotional experience to realize that we were actually there. And it brought the teachings for me, so many of the teachings, just really into reality for me, because we were actually there. We were walking in the same places where these things actually happened. And even now, knowing when I see the Dalai Lama and I see the videos on, you know, line or on Facebook or something, I see him circumambulating down at the Mahabodhi Temple. I do this. I was there when I see the pictures of, you know, Khyentse Rinpoche at the Mahabodhi Temple and doing those things. It was like I was there. So I have just this deeper connection to everything. And again, I'm just going to say ditto to everything everybody said. It was a very beautiful experience. I would highly recommend, if you all have a chance to go, if this is the path you are taking and you have these connections with Geshe Galik and Geshe Sangpo and Khyentse Rinpoche and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you know, all of these teachers and His Holiness, if you ever have the opportunity, it truly, truly is life-changing. I truly felt a pivotal change in my life. It just brought it so much to the reality for me. And so it was just, that was just one of my happy tear times. I did a lot of laughter. I did a lot of everything else. It was beautiful. But that was just one of them for me. I just kept hearing those words of what the Heart Sutra while I was standing up there. Incredible. So that's it for this. And I didn't know if anybody else had anything more to add. We have so many people that were there. And then that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if anyone has any questions for Geshe Sangpo, also about life in the monastery or during the pilgrimage?
Yeah. Anyone have questions, can ask me, they give answer.
We're very happy to have you back.
Thank
and
you.
I have a very selfish question.
Okay.
Will you be offering on Thursdays again the time that you have to teach on prostrations?
Yeah, we can. We can do. I think that's very important because that's good for center. Then when, like, Donasi, we, like, discuss to start, because we have so many wonderful teachers from Lama Zeba Rinpoche, Chide Rinpoche, Khyentse Rinpoche, Geshe Galik here, teach every day, but we don't have enough to practice. Therefore, if you really want to be liberation, then you need to wing to, like, you know, become a fly. Therefore, I think it's very important to do, like, you know, practice prostration and doing, like, mandala offering is one of, like, you know. Therefore, we can start here.
Thank you. So we are gathering prostrations. You guys remember in the annual appeal that you can offer prostrations this year, we've done different practices like circumambulations and mantras. So just to kind of piggyback on that, if you do prostrations at home or at the center, you can enter them on our website. And again, we'll be offering them at the end of the year to Geshe-la. So everybody that can even go backwards since January 1, enter anything that you've done. If you click on, I think it's called prostration offering, on one of the tabs on the website, just enter your number. Yeah, on the homepage. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, do I need tell? After the all the our member go back, then I went to the Dharamsala for visit my nephew and also visit defense minister. I don't know how to say defense. Yeah, because I want to see like His Holiness Dalai Lama. Because he is the one, like, you know, make me, the engage. I don't know how to say the, appointment. Then he said I don't remember exactly, maybe December 11. December 11, he will stay in the Delhi. Therefore, I have like, you know, when I came back to Delhi in Dharamsala from Delhi, they have like almost like 3 weeks for nothing to do. Then one of my friend who like help Geshe-la and me, the Taiwanese guy, his mom was sick like almost 7 years. Cannot move. Looks like not alive. Like, you know, he's on the bed. Sorry, my English is not good. Because like I told like all of them when we was in the Buddh Gaya in the monastery, that time is I speak English more ever. Because here Geshe-la and me always spoke Tibetan. Well, when we was in the monastery, we try to, that time is more I spoke ever my English. Okay, therefore still not good. Then he asked me to come to pray for his mom. Then I went to the Malaysia, and Malaysia is very close to Indonesia. Therefore, I really want to go to Indonesia because Lama Atisha's teacher was there. That we here when we was very young, studying like you know the in the monastery. Hear about Lama Atisha's story. Lama Atisha's so many difficulty, a lot of obstacle during the daytime no flight. Then he went by boat. I think small boat. Maybe went there for studying with his Lama, his teacher. He received bodhicitta from there. Bodhicitta. Therefore, we are very important to people wants to go there. Then I thought Lama Adisha went there like, you know, 12 months for difficulty, so many obstacles. Went there, I think I can go to where we did 1 hour to fly. It's very easy to like, you know, visit there. Therefore, I went there, and after that, then I go back to Delhi and meet His Holiness Dalai Lama for shortly. Then I go back to a monastery. I want to stay like, you know, the just realize in the monastery. Then one time my teacher came embolized to the monastery through my house. And he called me go with him. Then he said, oh, you must go to teaching. His own is teaching. Why you stay here? Nothing to do. Then I said, this makes sense. And I went through the hymn and Varanasi and go back again to Buddh Gaya, stay there whole His Holiness teaching. Then the last year when I was doing the pastoration,
one of my family's brother's family's friend invited me to Sikkim, which means Geshe-la's bad place. That time my body is too weak because I did like prostration. That this time they invited me again. Then I think that's really good time to go there because the Khyentse Rinpoche's long life puja is still like not coming. Then I went to the Sikkim. Then stay there 1 week. Then those family are very nice, very, very nice. Then they ask me where you want to go. The Sikkim is also very nice to travel. Like, you know, they have Buddha Park. They have many different statues, many different holy sites. And I told them I want to go to Bhutan. Then they have car, and they say, okay, we can go to Bhutan. Then if American people go to Bhutan, you have to pay for 250 for every single day. But they will pay for your hotel, transportation. It's okay, but no freedom. Because if you want to stay like this place, you cannot. The guy take you to, like, you know, they are all today here, tomorrow here, even though you pay. Then I knew one of the Bhutanese who studied at the Duke. Then when he graduation, then I give him kada. Then he said, oh, Geshe-la, I never forget you because you the one first give me kada and say something very nicely. Then I email to him. Then he's very happy. He's the one is the border, all the control. He's very high level in Bhutan. Then he is so happy to I come to Bhutan. Then therefore I don't have to pay for money. Then the brother's family took me to Bhutan for by car. We stayed there 1 week. Then I go back to monastery and stay under the Khyentse Rinpoche's long life puja. After immediately, then I left. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Geshe-la, when you were in Sikkim, did you see where Geshe Gelug grew up? Did you see any of his family or places that he lived?
Yeah, I went to the many times with Geshe-la, and also I went to the many time in Bhutan, Sikkim. I went to when he was born, the place of he was born. It's a very remote area, very, very remote area, the border of the Tibet. That this time I did not go because I'm too busy go to like with their family. But Geshe Gelug also suggests me don't have to go to visit his family. Therefore, I did not see anybody there. Huh. Okay.
How long does it take for a monk, like for all the teaching? You know, we go in as a child into the monastery to become a monk. Like, how many years of study and?
You mean beginning or so how long you have to stay there? Which one you?
To become a Geshe.
I think nowadays more than 20 years. More than 20 years, yeah. That is a long time.
And Geshe Sangpo, there are also monks who are not that studious, but they stay in, you know, but they still stay at the monastery with other circumstances. They work at the monastery, or?
Yeah, I guess your question is like, you know, our monastery is like exactly looks like. Then we went to the visit at one of the Ashway College. Because they work their self, they work farm, they work like, you know. When I first came to monastery, our monastery has farm. We have to go to work for farm. Then we have a monastery run like store, little like, you know, restaurant, and so many different. Like some people, not everybody wants to be studying. Some people don't want to study, then they like, you know, work for restaurant and for shop, and some people to drive, like many different. But if you really want to be geshe, you have to study like 20 years, like this and that. Yeah. That's your question? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all monks not educated. Because some people work for whole, like, you know, life for self-monastery. Also, that's also very, very, like, important. Because without they are working, then the people who want to study, they don't have to time to study. They have to do so many things. But in a we call like you know colosum is three wheels. Without three wheels cannot stay monastery. You have to serve monastery. You have to like after studying you have to do like teach some gosum things like you know learn and meditation and studying and walk. Without these three cannot stay monastery, even though you are monk.
That's actually a microcosm of the same thing that goes on here at Kadampa Center. We have to have all three pieces and parts, or we don't have this, the ability to learn from Geshe-la, the ability to have a building to come to, and then the service that it takes to kind of keep things going. The monastery is actually kind of like, it's a camp, and it's a village. It's a little town all into itself with all of the bits and pieces and parts that goes into a little town. With restaurants and stores and the schools and just all of the things, so it's literally a little enclosed town that has all of the different functions that go on. And so there was many different jobs, and there everybody was busy all the time. I mean,
and coffee shop.
Oh, and a coffee shop. Yes, and a very good coffee shop. Yes.
Can you repeat the three parts that go into being a part of the monastery? And then maybe tell us more about what your specialty used to be when you lived in the monastery.
I'm studying. I was studying. Three things you have to do. Serve monastery, studying, and then after finish you do like either Tiso Gosun meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you lived at the monastery, you specialized in the rituals?
No, studying. We are, everyone who studying more focused for like, you know, Buddhist philosophy. Mm-hmm. The ritual is like a side. If you want to study, you can, but if you don't want, nobody push you. Therefore, yeah, that's the extra. But if you are becoming geshe, you are, if you are, I don't know how to say, if your ritual is perfect, but you cannot be geshe. You know, if you want to be geshe, you have to have focus like, you know, Buddhist philosophy. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Geshe Sangpo, you did also get very much involved in ritual on the side of your study. Can you talk a little bit about what you did and as someone who did ritual?
Here is same like, you know, the college students, sometimes some people wants to like, you know, art, paint, like, you know, many different, but they focus on one of the main subject, right? Similar, like, you know, monastery, every monk have to like focus for Buddhist philosophy. Then some people wants to paint tonka, some people wants to study like, you know, this and that. Then when I was young, I really wants to be like that one. I learned when I was young how to plant these ones too. I don't know how to say this called here. Then if you know this one, the monastery always call you like when His Holiness come, a special puja, then that's very special like, you know, for event. Therefore, I really wants to do, but I did. I'm an official of the monastery, this plant, this one. Then during the daytime, then I have to go to many different ritual here. This one. And then I have to go to puja. Then I went to the Hayagiwa, attended the Hayagiwa few times. Hayagiwa ritual puja, I really like. Then I just took the exam, joined them. Then first time when I took the exam, I got the number one. Then I thought that's really make sense. Then I very interested to make butterscotch, make sand mandala, and this and that. Then I learned from them. But you don't have to in the monastery. Whole monks cannot. Some people who interested, they learn.
And I think he's being just a little bit modest. He's quite advanced in these ritual studies, and he even teaches them. There's been monks that come from India to learn from him. So as always, they're very modest, but he's a quite advanced ritual expert for a lot of different things.
And I'm going to embarrass you by saying, and on top of all of these things, the studying for Geshe and the rituals, you were also head of House 26A and helped direct the new building. And tell us about what you had to do with the medical clinics for the monks.
After you become a Geshe, then a monastery man, like, you know, the meeting, you have elect for some people is in charge, monastery, main monastery, some people the principal, some people like school principal, some people be like, you know, the hospital in charge. Then one time, when I was in my drum, then the administrator come to bring one cadre, then you are the one elect for the health care community in church. Then I said, no way, I can't do anything. I just refuse, but we cannot refuse. Because if you elect, because if you don't want to do, you have to leave monastery. Then you have to have self. Then they elected me, then we did like 2003 through 2007. Three, maybe three, four, five, six, seven, maybe something like that. We did good. But I don't know anything about the medical. But four geshe, the most of us have to fundraise money for how to buy the medicine, how to make clean the monastery, how to pay for daughter, nuns, this and that. That's our job. But I think the monks' blessing to us, we did like four 3 years. Yeah.
Thank you, Geshe Sangpo. So we're going to close up now. We'll start with the praises to the 21 Taras to create the causes for the next Light of the Path retreat and the blessings of having Lama Zopa Rinpoche come and teach. And then we'll do the dedication prayers, and when we start the dedication prayers, we can offer a kata to Geshe Sangpo if we wish to.
A gold prayer book, turn to page 191, and if you have the white binder, just turn to the pages that are a green color, and we'll start with the praises. 191. From your sublime abode at the Potala, O Tara, born from the green litter Tam, your crown adorneth Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara, you who rescue all who are destitute. To you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. All my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage, Tara, swift, heroic, eyesight, lightning, instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord of Thirvards, chair-borne lotus. Homage, she, his face combines a hundred autumn moons at fullest, blazing with thy rays resplendent as a thousand-star collection. Homage, golden bloom and lotus, water-born and hand-adorned, giving effort, austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tathagatas, action triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutada, whom desire direction and space, trampling with your feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All, Shaka Ani Bama Maru, honored by the host of spirits, corpses, earth, Gandhavas, Yakshas. Homage, with Durcha and Pesan, destroying false magic diagrams, her feet pressing left, out, right, and
blazing in a raging fireblaze. Homage to the very dreadful destroyer of Mara's champion. She with frowning lotus visage, who is sayer of all enemies. Homage at the heart her finger, so adorn her with three jomudra. Lightway masses all excited, all directions wheels adorn her. Homage, she so joyous, radiant, crown emitting garments of light. Mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all earth guardians assembly. Shaking, frowning with her homes, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorneth crescent, moon on honor most shining. Amitabha in her hair not sending out much light eternal. Hamishim with wreath ablaze like eon deadening fire abide. Raja flip and joy surround you, troops of enemies destroying. Hamishi who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. Hamish epivicious peaceful, she whose field is peace nirvana. She endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Hamishi with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder. Freezes human knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters. Homage to Re with seed letter, of the shape of syllable, whom five of something says the three. Smeru mandara and vindya. Homage holding in her hand the hammock boon of Devalekpa, with spice book and tara empe, totally dispelling poison. Homage you whom gods and their send the kinaras do honor. Armored in our joyful splendor, she dispels their dreams and conflicts. Homage, she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon. With Vaisara and Tutare, she dispels the fear contagion. Homage, full of liberating power by the set of three natures. Dresses of the spirit, yakshas, and race corpus supreme Ture. These praises with the root mantras and prostrations of Star 21. I turn to 190 for the prayer of the benefits. Whoever is endowed with devotion to the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering at dawn upon awakening in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with his greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the sufferings of dharmas caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled, and all obstacles pacify. And now let's go to page 246 and 47, and let's read the dedication from Master Shanti Deva's Guide to a Bodhisattva's Way of Life. 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled, with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And then go back to 244 and 245 and read the long life prayers. The land is circled by snow mountains. You are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig, Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. You who explores more, oops, I'm sorry, on the other side, the one who masters speech at a very young age, the one who has great patience who received the name Avatara, the one who has great precision to spread the teachings on Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way. You serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjhima's victorious doctrine. You masterly accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. Now seven Tara mantras for Geshe-la and Geshe Sangpo's long, healthy, happy life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.